Now, I've been here the last few weeks, and I asked them, because I've been here Marcus preached twice. I told them I want the Mark Brazell hookup. I want to move. Now, for those who weren't here, Mark had the mic, he had the clicker, he was moving. I told him, I want that. I want to be able to move around. You guys know me, I've been here long enough. If you with your cameras, go wide, because I move. Because I'm going to be up here, I'm going to be down there. But as we get started, first, again, I'd like to ask for God's Spirit to come into the room. Father in heaven, you already know. You know our good as well as our bad. You know the things that we need to do to be made more like you. Father God, I ask that right now you remove anything that is in me that will interfere with your word. I pray that you will keep me focused on thee and the things that you would have your people hear this morning. I pray for those that are sitting in the pews today, and even those that are online, that, again, your spirit will fall on them and provoke change and hopefully just renew a relationship in you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right. There's so much I want to say, and there's so many people. Sister Kathy, thank you. You know, I have so many, oh my gosh, there's so much support. I love you all. People have been praying for my mom. Thank you. I see y'all. Y'all call me, text me, email me. I haven't seen messages on Facebook. So I want to thank all of you. She's doing well. She sends her prayer and her love, and she's waiting on a date. They have some conflicts, but once she gets a date, my mother learned that she had an aneurysm, for those who didn't know. And so she's, you know, when you don't know, you're good. And then when they tell you, your whole life sort of flashes before your eyes and you start worrying about what you haven't done and what you've forgotten. So, you know, it's not the aneurysm that I worry about for her, it's the worry. So keep her in prayer, and keep reminding her the same thing she reminds me, God is in control. Amen. So, I almost forgot. I nearly forgot. Every time I come to church, and I'm still with y'all. I'm still here. Don't worry about it. I'm still here. Y'all know me. I'm still with y'all. Just a second. Every time I come to church, I end up putting it down, and I don't like even my leaving my. No, I'm not gonna leave them long. I'm gonna tell them, because I have this tendency when I go places, I have a lot of baggage. And my problem is, good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
All right, let me.
You knew I had to say that.
I know you did. All right, let me get this. My problem is, I hate leaving my baggage around because I don't trust you church folk with my baggage. All right. Now y'all laughing, but I'm serious. Go. Baggage claim. Lord have mercy. Whew. Come on. Helps when you turn it on. One of my favorite shows to watch was a show called Hoarders. Hoarders I could relate to, because before I took a job with the state of Michigan as a social worker. Hi, Jemica. That's one of my co-workers who I did not know was going to be here today. Praise the Lord. We have so many meetings together, I never knew. But praise the Lord. You never know who's out there. So I used to watch this show. And what I noticed, I actually had a client like this. With my client, I would walk in to her house. And I remember the first day I walked to her house, and it looked just like this. And I walked up to her, we started talking, we started having a dialogue. And I talked to her as if nothing was there. How are you doing today? Day's going good? Okay, good. Everything's all right? You feeling well? You taking meds? Okay. So we had our regular exchange that we normally have. And we talked for probably an hour, And then it was time for me to go, and I left. She was really careful to make sure I didn't touch anything, because that's her stuff. This is her junk, this is her baggage, and I'm not entitled to it. Now, I have my standard of how things should be, and I'm looking at this, and yes, I know that this isn't the best conditions for her, but to her, she's all right. And she doesn't want me to touch her stuff. This is her baggage, and I respect that. However, I know that this isn't healthy. I know that this isn't well. I know that she needs help. And sometimes with hoarders, if when you get into the whole psychological aspect behind it, you find out that hoarders many times have suffered severe loss. So they're afraid of letting go. Follow me? Follow me. So in our lives, we hoard. We have baggage. We have guilt. We walk around with guilt from the things that we could have, should have, would have done. There's shame of things that we can't let go because it still embarrasses us to this day. We have doubt. Doubt of self and doubt of God. Oh, one of my favorites, anger. How many of us walk around, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us walk around with the baggage of anger? Always. Do you know somebody who's always mad? Jefferson? Hi, Alan, thank you. Don't turn my mic off. Unforgiveness. How many have carried the load of unforgiveness? Again, don't raise your hand. I just want you to think about it for a second. Pride. It's all about me. Lust. The Lord knows what I want because I want it. Greed. Selfishness. Idolatry, jealousy, and stubbornness. The list could go on. I can't forget disappointment. Some of the greatest, as I work with people in the prison and outside of the prison, this is one of the biggest things that I see people walk around with, just disappointment. And it often is tied to something else, but disappointment, stress and worry. Fear, insecurity, and discontentment and unrelenting standard whereby not even God can please you. So, in my field, we have all these theorists, and it's good, you know, you are a Christian, but you study a secular field, and these theorists come up with things, and they're just figuring out that genetics play a part in who we are. But I told him, that's not new to me. As a Christian, I read this when David wrote it. Surely I was sinful at my birth. And in sin, at the time that my mother conceived me, excuse me. So that means when I came into this world, I came in with what?
Baggage.
Before I was born, I came in with baggage. When you treat someone who is addicted to a substance while they are carrying, that child comes in with an addiction to that substance. That child didn't ask for that. But because of sin, it is passed on. The Lord says, or the Bible says, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving of sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave guilty. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with his great love, forgive the sin of the people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. See, I had to leave that part in there because there's a way of escape. There is forgiveness. But before you came into this world, you came in baggage. And so this is these generational curses we talk about. This is when you hear, oh, you're just like your mama or your daddy. You're no good, you're a liar, you're a cheater. You hear these things because you heard that all the men in your family went to prison and now you gotta go. Uh-huh. And your mom, I kid you not, I hear this. Where are all the men in your family? They locked up. So that's why I'm here, because all my family is here and this is what we do. I don't mind doing a bit. I don't mind doing time. And at first I wondered if this was really the mentality. It is the mentality of some people. This is the baggage that they carry because this is all they know. But the Lord says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what?
Life.
My burden is what?
Life.
My burden is non-existent. You'll never have problems. No, that's not what it says. It doesn't say my burden doesn't exist. It said my burden is light.
Compared to his, yeah.
That is true. Compared to his, what we care, what he offers us, we can't even comprehend. His burden is light. So when we read this, we have to understand that God never said, I went from Genesis, I flipped all through. There is nowhere that I have found that we will never have problems. There is nowhere that I have found that we will never carry baggage. I kid you not. I'll get there. You know what? I'll wait. Because I want to talk about what God says. Doug, I came prepared. Take some notes. Take a picture of the screen. Do what you got to do, but you need to take this with you. Or you can email me during the week. I'll send it to you. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken.
Amen.
Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now, generational curses. It's easy to talk about them when it relates to other people. And I leave this slide blank. Because even in my own life, I've experienced the fight of generational curses. See, my father never knew who his father was. And even before my grandmother died, he never learned who his father was or is. So, as a young man who conceived myself, like many young men who I meet up with, talk to, I grew up to be angry, very angry, because this man who I desperately wanted a relationship with was not there. And when he was there, he wasn't consistent. So I grew up angry. I did a lot of dumb stuff, a lot of dumb stuff in the name of anger. When people ask, I would give them the spill. I'm mad, my dad wasn't here. Like, and it's funny. I'll get there, sorry. I did a lot of dumb things, but someone came to me and said, you need to write them. Write them a letter and pour up and tell them. Tell them how you feel. Tell them everything that you think and just put it in there. And back then, this was before email, so I actually had to write the letter, put a stamp on it, and mail it, and wait for a reply. It never came. So I got mad at God because I prayed about it. I put it in your hands. I told you what I need to happen. You need to fix this, God, because I'm angry. Because the church people told me that if I want to get rid of my baggage, I got to deal with it, right? So God, you need to fix this. Nothing happened. It wasn't for a whole 2 years later, I think. God spoke. And be prepared to when you pray, sometimes you just got, after you pray, shut up and listen. Let God speak. Because when he finally spoke, he told me something that was real. I wasn't ready to hear, but it was real. He told me that before you knew me, you knew him. And your love was so great for him that you would not have learned of me if you followed him where he went. So I needed to allow that separation to give you time to get to know me. So then when you go back to him, you have offered forgiveness, you have offered love, and acceptance. It's not me. I tell my dad, it's not me, it's God, because I love you. So in dealing with this, I had to look at my own generational curses and decide, I know he did not do it intentionally, but I know I'm going to do it differently. So my bag got lighter. I start taking a little bit. I can take a little bit out of my bag now. Let me take some of this stuff out of here. All right. But I still got baggage. I still got problems. I still got situations. Oh. I ain't the only one with problems. Think about it. You can go through anybody in the Bible, and you can look at their lives, and you will see that their lives weren't perfect. Joseph, I love Joseph. I love Joseph's story. When I think my life is hard, I go back and look at his. Your mother dies because your brother is brought into this world. You love your brother, but how can you love your... That's, I love you, but my mom's not here because you're here. Baggage. Joseph was destined for greatness. That too could be baggage. When people know, especially not just people, when the enemy knows that you are destined for greatness, there's baggage that comes with that, because there's responsibility that comes with that. We see that with Samson. Joseph was sold into slavery, not just sold, but by his own brothers. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and imprisoned for something that he didn't even do. Now, I work in one, and I tell you, I can only imagine. We have rights and policies that sort of protect people in the prisons that we have now. But back then, I imagine that there may have been complete lawlessness. It wasn't the prisons we have now. I imagine they might have been worse. He was forgotten for prison for at least 2 years before he had a chance to speak with Pharaoh. So when I look at that, to me, I would hate God. I grew up trusting you, and this is what you do? Excuse me. I'm angry. When I get angry, my baggage flies everywhere. I hurt people. I get mad at everyone, even God. So I'm going somewhere with this, and I'm going to read this really quickly. It says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out a worker into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take purses or bags or sandals. Don't take your baggage. And do not greet anyone in the road. The Lord gave instructions. That's for us, by the way, as Christians. We always repeat this verse, the harvest is right, labor is few, yada, yada, yada. That's the instruction for us. God says, go out to my people, but you don't take that baggage with you. Bring them into your church, but don't take your baggage. Like, if I walked into a church with all my baggage and I see that church has just as much baggage, I don't know if I can come here and be delivered, because they're fighting over which pew to sit in or the things that are insignificant or non-essential to making it to the kingdom. So when I come to the house of the Lord, I know that I need to have spent my week dealing with the things that need to be dealt with on a personal level, a spiritual level, and a moral level. I need to have been working on my relationship with God. Now, there are certain baggage you're just going to carry. I just want, let me make that clear. I already said, God will never take all of your baggage. I have people who have wrestled with substance abuse their entire lives, and I share with one of my clients a harsh reality. You may have to carry this. It don't just go away. See, what we don't tell you young people and old people, when you use certain substances, it alters you chemically. Heroin, for instance. Those who become addicts, it takes nearly 2 years for the brain to correct the damage. That's a long time. And then even after that change comes and your brain is corrected, the cravings still exist. Most of the guys now I have that tell me they relapse, they told me they knew that morning they were going to relapse. They knew when they got up today, I'm feeling weak. And many of them, we try to pair up with peer specialists and other support systems. But sometimes many of them don't have that, so they falter and they fail. So when they come to me and talk about it, I always ask, so when did you start feeling it? He said, that morning that I used, I knew. So people are coming in, and they're looking for deliverance, they're looking for change, but we are sometimes get caught up in our own selfishness and our own baggage, and I don't want you to feel bad. Don't beat yourselves up. Because the disciples also had baggage. I'll paraphrase these really quickly, but I left them up here with the verses so you can go check them out yourself. There was a blind man who Jesus healed. And when they walked up to before Jesus healed him, they walked up to this blind man and they said, Jesus, whose fault is this? His parents or his? So where's this baggage coming from? He's blind. He's born blind. Somebody's responsible for this. Because that's what we try to do. When we go through things, when we face certain situations, we want to find out what's the cause. That's what my field does. They want to know, was there a mental breakdown? What caused the mental breakdown? Do we need to do this? Do we need to do that? We often want to go back and find the root cause of everything. Because we want to be smarter than the next person, or we just want to feel like we know. And I love Jesus' answer. He said, neither. I love that. I love Jesus' answer. He pointed out, this man is blind. This man has baggage. Neither his father nor his mother caused it, nor did he. He's blind so that God can get the glory. Yes. Step back. Watch this. He's going through this so this very day he can be restored. So that's one point. Then my next point, again, he told the, oh, can't forget that. He told the disciples because they couldn't heal this man because they lacked faith. But nope, that's the next one. Jesus walks over to a man who's possessed by a demon, and the father calls to Jesus, and he wants Jesus to help his son. He said, your disciples, they're whack, they're weak. They tried it, they couldn't do it. So I'm coming to you, I need you to help my son. He's got this demon, he's jumping in the water, he's jumping into fires. So Jesus, again, heals this man possessed by this demon. And then if you go immediately, now I know sometimes there may have been days or weeks that passed in between, but if you go immediately to chapter 18 after Luke, I'm referring to the verse in Luke. Sorry, Matthew. You go to chapter 18. You'll see that the first thing they're doing is fighting over who's the greatest. See, us men, we're competitive. We often can be competitive. We like brackets and championships. We like to know who ranks where and where would I be, God? But God said, none of that is important. None of that is important. I'm only here with you for a short amount of time and you're worried about where you rank? You went in this world to be my disciple and cast out demons and you worried about where you rank? Nowhere. You lack faith. That's where you rank in the faith list. So because of their baggage of jealousy, they couldn't do the will of God and cast out this demon. So for this reason, every man, everyone must make the effort to add to yourself faith, goodness. Okay, I got that. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, and what's that? Perseverance. Got that. Godliness, mutual affection, and love. Oh, love. Do we love? Do we really carry love around with us? It's rhetorical. Ponder. Think on it. Say la. For if you possess these qualities, increasing in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. In your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but whosoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So those of you who forget to have this become nearsighted and blind. If we don't carry these things in our daily lives in us, we become nearsighted and blind, and we carry our past baggage. We carry our past sins. We don't grow. We get stuck in that shame. We get stuck in that guilt. So initially, I showed you a picture of my friend Barb. She was excellent. We planned one day, the agency I worked for, to go to Barb's house and clean everything. Get it back to, it was spotless. It was immaculate. It was perfect. It was not easy. Barb fought us every step of the way. Barb, this is a piece of paper with gum stuck to it. Yeah, I'm going to use that later. What you going to use it for, Barb? I don't know, but leave it alone. Don't touch it. It's mine. Barb, we're just trying to help. We want to help you get through this. No, thank you. This is mine. So as she continued to hold on to her baggage, we had to get to a point where we were able to sit her down and convince her that once we did this, we wouldn't take everything. We would let, just like on the show, we allowed her to keep certain things. These are the things that you can keep. These are the things that we know you probably connected to or need to, or they help you grow. But these things over here, we have to let go. God is telling us all there are things we have to let go. Amen. If we want to be safe, if we want to be healthy, if we want to grow, if we want to be a better person, we have to let go. So she let us clean it up. She was coming to her appointments. She was taking her medication. She was doing great. And for about 4 weeks, she was on the ball. But I noticed she started missing appointments. I noticed that she wasn't answering her phone, nor was she answering the door when I stopped by. Barb, I'm here. Just want to come check on you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want to see if you're all right in there. But because she had fallen back into her ways, and she was unable to maintain on her own, it went back to his quickly. God reminds me every day that this is how he sees us. God reminds me every day that he stands at the door and knocks and says, I want to keep you clean. I want to restore you and keep you there. But what do? I go back and start messing the place up again. Because, and it's not on purpose, it's just, I like that stuff. I like my discontentment. I like my anger and my doubt. I like where everything is, because I don't really want to let it go, but God is calling us to let it go. So it's time. First, it's time to talk to God. It's time to talk to God and be honest with God. I don't want to let this go. Or I don't know how to let this go. I see that this is hurting me. Then I say, talk to someone else. Seek help. There are so many people around you who are willing to help. Now, everybody should not be. Listen to me. No, let me come down here. Everybody has not been called to help you. Gasoline, fire. Just keep that vision. Everybody has not been called to help, but God has put people on this planet who are here to push you up the hill when you can't get up. Yeah. Like I said, there's so many of y'all here, I could, Sister Kathy, Sister Johnson, Brother Johnson, Catherine Wright, keep, I love her. There's so many people in this church that are here. The prayer warriors, they're here. When I call and say I need prayer, I know they're on it. Fight the urge to pick it back up. That says alcohol. What's this one? Oh, insecurity. I'm gonna pick this up. No, I'm gonna put it down. No, I'm gonna put it down. Because at times, you know, I want to walk around with that insecurity, but I already know that God has made me more than a conqueror, so I'm gonna put it down. Yeah. Two is better than one, the Bible says. Though one may overpower, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So if you go out and you do the needed work of getting the help that you need, you won't fall off so easily. Most of the people that I talk to who wrestle with substance abuse or mental health issues don't have the help or too afraid to ask. They've burned, some of them have burned bridges, but many of them want help and they want to be consistent. Then it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Y'all laugh, but I see people come in with the Bible. Pow! Yeah. Yeah. You going to hell? But the word says, restore them gently. That means the first time you come talk to them, they may not change. Trust me, I see it every day. I talk to different people, and the first session isn't about changing everything. It's just listening. If we could shut up and listen, even when they don't make sense, or even if it doesn't relate to us, shut up and listen. And at the end of it, if there's nothing that has been said that you agree with or that you are accepting of, just say, God is still on the throne. I'm praying for you. And then continue to talk to them and offer pieces by piece, a piece at a time, but be gentle. So it says, restore them gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's baggage in a way that you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if you know that you struggle with something, you might not be the best person at that time to help deliver someone else. And I'm gonna just leave that there. I can go into detail, but I think you understand. It says it in the word right here in Galatians. But watch yourselves that you may not also be tempted. So if you are tempted to do what you're trying to help this person out of, then you might not be the best person to be around them. I like cake. I'm not signing up to get nobody off of cake. We going down together. I'm sorry, I came here to help you, but this is good. But I joke, but I'm so serious. So that commandment, it says, the last line of this is fulfilling the law of Christ. The law of Christ, again, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple. If you, that's why I asked you earlier, do you love? When you rebuke somebody, is it in love? They may not always know, but you may know, because Jesus rebuked the disciples. He rebuked the Pharisees. He rebuked a few people, and it was always done in love. And they may not always accepted it. I don't think they're disciples, no. The disciples, maybe. Pharisees, no. Sadducees, no. I don't think they saw the love in it. But when we correct, do we correct in love? So, picking up where I left off, fight the urge to pick it back up. God does love you. If you've confessed your sins and asked for forgiveness, he has been faithful and just enough to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you from all righteousness. Sorry, excuse me. Your suffering will not last forever because he promised. He will come again because he promised. You may walk around wondering why God, for the rest of your life, until he comes, wondering why God allowed this terrible thing to happen to you. While he allowed you to grow up in poverty, you couldn't grow up on that side of town that was, or why I didn't get that job. You may grow up wondering why he allowed you to experience that hurt from your parent or your child. There are things that we will go through in this life, and it's going to create baggage. But he already told us he's there to carry it. It's us. We won't let it go. So, as I said, talk to God, seek help, fight to pick it, to not pick it back up. And because it's music day, because I didn't have these slides in here before, I added them. Not many, it's probably two. It's music day. You know who had baggage? Paul and Silas. These brothers were on a walk, going to the church, and a lady came out who was possessed and started harassing them. So he cast the demon out of her. Now, this woman was used to make money for some of the businessmen in the town because she was one who could, magic lady, psychic. Let's go with psychic. She was a psychic. So when they could no longer make money off of her because this demon was cast out, they were mad. You messed up our money. So what happened to these guys? They weren't just thrown in prison. They were beaten and thrown in prison. Praise did not stop them, or this baggage of being beaten and broken did not stop them from praising. You said amen, so I'm gonna tell you again. You heard me. Being beaten, being broken, being thrown in jail did not stop them from praising.
Amen. That, amen.
We gonna go through stuff, and it's gonna be hard. But being beaten, being broken, being tempted, we must continue still to offer God the praise. Because at the end of the day, let's go back to the blind man. Jesus already told us this is happening so that God gets the glory. This is not even about me. This is about God getting the glory. So, I have a love-hate for that song. I think Mary did a cover of it. Take the shackles off my feet so I dance. It sounds great, but the theology's wrong. Keep the shackles on my feet. I'm going to praise you anyway. Yeah. I just got beaten, broke down, and I'm hurting inside, Jesus, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm locked in a mental or physical prison. Sometimes prison is, most times I'll tell you, prison is a mindset. I see free people who are in prison. And I see people who are incarcerated who are free. It is the wildest thing, but we find ourselves in a place where we're locked up, and because we can't connect to the Father, because of all this baggage we got going around, we imprison ourselves. But despite where we are in life, we must take these things and allow God to set us free. So in closing, go back. Got these. Because I got all of my extra bags of stress and worry and, again, disappointment. Once I start going through my life and getting rid of the shame and the guilt, I can hold up the mirror and ask God to let me see me how you see me and let me be ready for it. Amen. And not just see it, keep a fire in me that's going to change this. Yeah. So if I look in here and I don't like what I see, Lord, help me change it. So keep this. Go in here and what we got. Oh. Don't play with these. Oh, the kids and J-Mac. Okay, good. I can light one. Not that one. This is a fire. This is fire. God said, be what? Hot or cold? I want to be hot for the Lord. And I, unlike this match, I want to burn bright and I want to burn forever. I want to stay hot for God, because what we have a tendency to do, like a match, we burn down and we fizzle out. And because we fizzle out, we just become waste. We become baggage. Ah. My Bible. This is meant to lighten the load, but let me be honest for a second, it actually makes it heavy at first. Because in this book is conviction. And to be honest, sometimes I don't want to be convicted. The world is having a lot of fun, and I want to too. But when I get in here and see that I'm supposed to be in the world but not of it, oh man. When I get into this book and see how he wants my life to be compared to what I want my life to be, I get angry. Because he has a standard. And the standard isn't even to depress me, it's to liberate me. So at first this can be a burden, but once I learn to continue to practice the principles that exist, I grow. The things of the world don't even appeal anymore. So lastly, in the book of John it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? When you carrying all this mess around and you're constantly trying to organize and step over it, there's no peace. There's no peace in your life when you are walking around with this much baggage. He said, in this world, you will have what? You will have trouble. You're going to have baggage. You're going to have situations that come about that make you hurt sometimes. But take heart. I've overcome the world. I didn't call for you to do anything that I haven't already done. So if I can overcome the world, so can you. So these things, this fear, all this anger, you can overcome it if you want to, but you got to do the work. So I'm going to leave you with that slide, because I think you got it. Your homework for this week, you know me, your homework for this week is to go out. I want you to take three things in your life right now that are holding you hostage. Again, it could be any of the things I listed. It could be something that's not even on my list. It could be your own personal issue that you need to work through. But I need you to go through the things in your life that are holding you hostage and keeping you from soaring to the height. Because you know planes, if they have too much cargo, they got to dump something before so they can get up. Or you've checked in at an airport. They'll tell you your bag is too heavy and charge you $500 to check your bag. You've been there. Because they are trying to reach an altitude that they want to fly at, and they cannot get there if it's too heavy. Christ said, your load is heavy and mine is light. Take mine. Yes. So my appeal to everyone here is take three things. Just start with three. There might be more, but take what you feel are the top three. And just write them out this week. And don't go too far yet. I just want you to write out what they are. And then I want you to put them in order, prioritize them. Which one hinders you the most? And then once you have those, I want you to focus on number one. I want you to look at number one and say, what can I do about this God? This one is holding me back, it's interfering with my relationship with you, with others, it's stunting my growth, Father God. This is the one we need to, like I feel we need to fix. And if this is not, Lord, reveal to me what is holding me back. Because sometimes we think we know what's holding us back, and that's not it. You think if you had this, life would be better, but God says, no, that has nothing to do with your problems, it's this. Your lack of, it's not that you don't have the resources, it's your lack of consistency. That's just what God told me. So when you start to ask God questions, he's gonna answer you. But write them out and do the homework, because people are coming looking for God. And if they can't get to God because they're tripping over your baggage on the way to God, you interfering, you in the way. Move, go work on yourselves. And let's work together to work on ourselves. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the things that you have given to us. The life, the health, the strength, the will to want to change. We thank you for freeing us from sin and forgiving us from sin. We thank you for letting us know that you are an overcomer. You have already overcome the world. You haven't called us to do anything that you have not done or will not help us do. Help us to be a light to those who are in dark places. Our baggage sometimes fails us, Lord. And you know the spirit is often willing, but our flesh keeps us from doing your will. Lord, help us to gain that control over the flesh. We wrestle with things daily. Each day we wrestle. We cry out to you, Lord, we wrestle. But sometimes it seems, Lord, as if you don't hear us when we call. But Lord, I know you hear. You're faithful and you're just enough to forgive and deliver. But Lord, if you tell us that we got to carry it a little bit longer, you don't tell us that because you won't give us the strength. You will give us the strength to carry it, God, because you promised it. You told us I'd never give you more than you can bear, but I'm going to give you something to bear because that's how you're going to get your weight up. I need you to be strong in this world. Like my disciples, I had to stay on them. I had to rebuke them sometimes because I needed them to be strong. You're focused on this when I need you to be focused on that over here, which I've called you to do. So teach us, God. Teach us, God. Teach us how to focus on you. Teach us to truly learn how to put you first. It's hard to do that in this day and age, but Lord, teach us how to do it. We are willing to do it. Teach us, Lord. So with all these things that I have said, Lord, I pray that they don't fall on deaf ears. I pray that someone, that all, will take this information and go out to improve their lives so that they are the Christians that you call to be, so that by their fruits you will know them. And so when it's all said and done, we will meet in the kingdom new, and we will all be able to testify of how great thou art and how we made it over. How we didn't think we were going to get up that hill, but brother and sister so-and-so prayed for me or pushed me up, and how I enjoyed helping brother so-and-so as he was dealing with. Lord, help us to come together. Without it, we perish. And we don't want to perish, Lord. We want to thrive in your name. So all these things I ask in your son's name. Amen.